This is on deliverance, but it's not that deep or heavy or anything like that. But, you know, it all pertains to revival. I believe with all my heart that God is setting us up, preparing us, and massaging us for revival. And revival is spelled W-O-R-K. For any of you who've been in revival before, that's what it is. But it's also an excitement, and it's also a walking in the things of God because you want to. Yesterday, I wanted to go up to be honest, with Sega Beach. I used to go up there in the 60s and 70s and wanted to go up there with a clear mind and kind of drive up the beach and down the beach, but not to go swimming and not to meet people or whatever, just to be there because I used to go there a lot. But the Lord said, me and Donna were going to go up, but the Lord said, why don't you just stay and spend some time with me? Now, the weather was not good anyways. At least it didn't look like it was going to be good. So about 9 o'clock in the morning, I get up, and last night at 11 o'clock, I went to bed, 11:30, something like that. So it was just fun spending all day within the Word of God and fellowshipping with the Lord. Some of the things, though, that that I was fellowshipping with Him was, of course, deliverance, because I knew I'd be sharing on it today, but also just being in His presence, because there's nothing like being in the presence of your Father. And when you... When we all learn that, we're going to understand more what it's like when we get there. Anyway, before I do anything, I want to just applaud the Lord because these here are my books in French. Amen. I don't know if I told you, but when we were up in Quebec, I only had the English version, and I really wasn't thinking much about it. But there was one lady who said, you know, we need to take these and translate them into French. And I thought about it, but then later, I went back to that little church, and it was like, yeah, okay, go ahead and do it. So she translated it, and then this week we had it printed. Now, there's a lot of work that goes into it. Amanda did a lot of preparation, and Josh and Jamie, and it goes on. But there's a few other people in there. But in any case, now I have the French one. So I'm going back up into Quebec for the best part of October and November, way up there. We talk about mission fields, and you know, but we think of Africa. We may think of Ireland, but we think of Africa, and we think of India and so on. But right here in our own backyard, we have a mission field, the highest rate of suicide and so on. One of the next times I go up, I will be speaking and sharing on this in the town hall. It's already a done deal. The date is set in the town hall. I'll be speaking to politicians as well as the regular people and all the rest of it. But I want to share the gospel. Amen. I was in Ohio, and I think I mentioned this, but some lady came up to me and said, you know what? This is a good book. I want to interpret it in Spanish. And so now the Spanish is being interpreted and translated. And so it's, I don't know how far along they are, but I just got page 6 yesterday. And page 6 in Spanish, I don't know if that means like page 8 in English or page 2. I mean, I have no idea, but it's coming. And while I was in another city down there, someone said, you know what, this book needs to go in Polish. And I'm thinking, Lord, you do what you want with this book. But that's the fourth language on this book. People are getting born again. It's a little book. I don't pad the hell part. If you want to listen to stories about hell and what it's like in every detail and every I dotted and every T crossed, you can get that. But the thing is, in 1971, I did go to hell. And I did visit it. And I don't know how, but only by the name of Jesus that I come out of it and I stand here today. And so that's what I put in there. It's more on the salvation part than the bad part, if you know what I mean. Any case, if you feel or if the Lord wants to want you to help with this financially, we would welcome that. Because these books do get costly and so on. Not a lot, but a little costly. In any case, praise God. If nothing else, please pray for us that the right doors would open up there. We just don't want to go up there just for something to do. We go up near the Gaspé. That's at the Atlantic Ocean and Quebec. St. Lawrence, as far as you can go, right in that little peninsula there. Now, I want to talk about deliverance. And I want to hurry, but I don't want to hurry. So I'm going to go along in terms of what I feel is important and what the Lord is telling me to say. I might jump around a bit, but that's okay, all right? I do want to ask you, though, concerning last week when I preached up here, I talked about each of you praying for 15 minutes a day. I don't want to see a show of hands. But how long was it before you left this place before the enemy just wiped it away from your mind? Or did he? And did you continue to pray 15 minutes a day, and did it grow? I'll leave that with you. I mean, we have 168 hours per week. But if we prayed 15 minutes a day, that's less than 2 hours a week. Did we do that? Or did you do it once or twice? Or did you do it for 5 minutes? And listen, I want to encourage you. If you've only prayed for 5 minutes over and above what you generally do this week, then the Lord would be happy to take that and fellowship with you even for that 5 minutes. But try the 15-minute thing. It works. Now, before I get going, within this particular demonic structure, there are many strong men, but there are three that would like to control. One is the spirit of Jezebel. That is a control. That is deception. That is a pride. The other one is the spirit of death and hell, which is a spirit of violence, murder, anger, and so on. Another one is the spirit of the Antichrist, which means instead of Christ. A lot of the spirits you find today will fit under them three. Although there is another one that the Lord spoke about. In Luke chapter 16, verse 9, 11, and 13, he talked about the spirit of Mammon. The spirit of Mammon is a greedy god, and people have made it like a human being, like a deity or something, because they worship it. The story goes, and we've heard it here, and that is that if the Lord was to say to you, I want you to do this or that, or go pass out some tracts somewhere, well, you say, thank you, Lord, I know that's your voice, but the bank account says no. And so we don't do it. The Lord did not ask about the bank account. We need to take the steps of faith, kind of like what we did this morning. Or if the Lord says, well, you know, you are healed. And you say, well, no, Lord, the doctor says that I'm not. So I'm not. So, you know, the thing is, you don't get healed. We have to take the step of faith. The fact is that, yes, you may have a cancer, but the truth is that by his stripes you were healed, period. It takes a long time for that to drop from here to here. And I'm just warning you, but I'm encouraging you that you can, for yourself, if something starts to come on you, you can train yourself now. A weightlifter doesn't start off lifting 200 pounds over his head. He may start off with lifting 20. But eventually he'll get to the 200. So if something hits and you need to start lifting 200 over your head or die, you may not be able to do it. Not only that, you're an intercessor and you stand between hell and your family member or your neighbor or your friend who is trying to get there. You are an intercessor. So anyways, we all know that we are a three-part being. We are a spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit, when we're in Christ, is sealed. The enemy cannot take that or whatever, but it's the soulish realm that we have to build. We have to renew the mind. This is where the enemy plays havoc. And also, if you were going to take 10, 15, 20 minutes more a day to get to know the Lord, believe me, you're going to have a little more stepped up demonic activity against you. He's going to want to try and stop you. So know it. But Christians, we are in a warfare. We are the army. We're the children. God loves us and all the rest of it. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but we are in a war out, an all-out war out. He's worse than any terrorist could ever be. He'll take out your kids if he can. He'll take out the old people before their time. He'll cause things to happen, man, that you would never want to happen. And you know what? It can happen in an instant. All of a sudden, your life changes. An accident of some sort. So guard yourself. Be ready. If you're in fellowship with the Lord, he's going to tell you. He's going to say, pray here because there could be something happen. You don't want to miss that. I'm not trying to put anything more heavy on you than what the Lord has already put on us. He says, pray, seek him. Seek him first. So we know that we're a three-part being. Now, deliverance in the vines means to give back or to give up. Satan or demons have to give you up and leave you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark 5 said, when he seen Jesus, the demoniac, he said, who are you, Jesus, the Son of God? Have you come to destroy me before my time? Now, the demons knew him. How come the demons know Jesus sometimes better than the Christians? It's a hard thing to understand. But a lot of the Christians don't take the time to know him. And there was reasons he did. He's seen the light. He had great intel. All the demons knew where Jesus was at any given time. They were all trying to attack him. They were all speaking to the religious people, trying to get him to do something or say something wrong so they could kill him. But also they worked with him long before we as humans existed. And so the demons know him. So we need to get to know him. We need to get him to know him better than anyone at any time. Vine says it's to set free, deliverance, to set free. Luke 4 and 18 says, the Lord speaking, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised. He wants to set us at liberty. So deliverance is a release from bondage or imprisonment. By the way, in Isaiah chapter 14, it tells us that Satan never releases the people that he has imprisoned. But Jesus comes along and he's releasing them. He doesn't care what Satan thinks he has done or what he's got. He has come to set the captive free. And we need to be as well. Because he says, as I am, so are you to be in this world. Deliverance. Vines still. It means liberation from captivity. Are you captive today? Is there some sin that's really, really trying to control you? Really getting the best of you? Really preventing you from that sweet fellowship with the Lord? Listen, our Redeemer is the one who releases. We need to come to him. And there is a separation with sin. All of us know that. Just because we sin, it doesn't mean we're going to lose our salvation. But it does mean that we lose that sweet fellowship with the Lord. And we have to get it back. Demons are evil spirits. They seek to seduce believers. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the end times that people will be deceived. They will listen to doctrines of demons and they'll be deceived. Deception right now is one of his main tricks. You know how you pull out a bag of tricks? That's one of his main tricks today is to deceive. Now, demons do know about their future. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. Same story, Mark 5. But it says, and behold, they cried out, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come here to torment us before our time. They knew where the timing was, approximately, and they knew where they were going. Turn over to 1 Kings 18 and 28. I notice there's a lot of Christians that are kind of gone with the flow of the world. And they think it's okay to do things to the body because, you know, we own our own body and all the rest of it. But it's not okay. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit." And so over here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 28, it says, "And they cried with a loud voice, and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them." What's happening today? People are cutting themselves. There are cutters. It started way back there with the prophets of Baal. Anything behind the cutting part of it is a demon. It's not just somebody wanting to cut themselves. I want to show you, too, while I'm here. It's the same thing with tattoos. Leviticus 19 and 28. "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print or tattoo any marks upon you, for I am the Lord." And so the enemy seems to be deceiving so many people today. Now, I know that I'm standing up here. I have a tattoo, and I tried to have a couple of more and so on. I was not born again at the time, but it was not a God. It was not a God. Today, people are getting tattoos and cutting themselves because demons are directing them. I seen someone the other day at Walmart, and I wanted to go over to her and say, if I started Tattoos Anonymous, would you come? Is it? Thank you. But I didn't. But there's coming a day where I would like to start Tattoos Anonymous. We have Alcoholics Anonymous. We have Drug Anonymous. It's an addiction. I wonder how many people have done this. I know some who have put tattoos and covered their body and have been very, very sorry. Some have gone to try and sand them off, but it looks worse than if you just left them alone. But other people today are getting tattoos all over their face, their neck, their arms, other places, and all the rest of it. It seems like they're covering their whole body. There's something pushing them. There's something driving them. And so we've got a lot of demonic activity. By the way, if you are favorable to this, or if you think you want to get a tattoo, I would seriously consider seeking God, because that voice is probably not your own. It is not cool. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, Christ cast out demons by his own power. Acts 10:38. "Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil," number one. Number two, his disciples cast them out because they were under his mantle before covenants. They were not born again yet. We are. But he cast them out. They cast them out because they were under his mantle. He told them to go. Like last week, I touched on, he called them, he sent them, he trained them. He told them what to do. They went out, did the ministry. They returned, they gave account. They said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in our name." Luke 10:18. He says, "Yeah," or 17. He says in 18, he says, "Yeah, I seen Satan fall like lightning." That's just a split second, part of a split second. Then he says, "Behold, I give you strength to tread on all snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." We don't have to walk around afraid of the devil. Like that anointing that God put on us this morning, that breaker anointing, some of us need to take a hold of things. some of us, our kids, our relatives, our friends, are full of demons, or at least they have demons that are bugging them and hassling them. We can take authority over them. We can't control their mind. Yes, that's right. But we have authority over the demonic powers to bind them so that our friends and family can begin to think without all these problems concerning the enemy. And so to be able to make a right decision without all the influence of these wicked spirits. So Christ cast them out. Then he told us to go out and cast them out. But now we got to go in his name. Folks, we're an army. These things are not going to go away. The closer we get to the second coming of Christ, the more the enemy is going to just come along and do more and more and more havoc if we let him. But we don't have to let him. That's the point. I have I have talked to my kids lately, and I said, I would appreciate it if you would just step it up spiritually. I said, because I'm going deeper into the Lord. I'm going to be doing this till that's it. I'm finished, or he returns. The thing about doing that is that the enemy knows that, and he'll earmark you, and he'll want to come at me more and more. But if he can't get a hold of me, then he'll come after your loved ones. He'll come after the people that you care about. He's a dirty player, man. He'll come after grandkids. He'll come after kids. Now, many of you don't like to hear this, but you know what? He's worse than a terrorist. Who do you think are behind the terrorists out there? So we need to deal with him. It's like being an ambassador. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are ambassadors. We have to take that authority as representatives of the kingdom of God and deal with the enemy. No matter where we are, what country we're in, even on this earth, even if the devil has the sway, even if he has a lot of control, we still are ambassadors. We still will have all of our needs met based on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We can give protection. We actually own the business. We're not part of the business. We're not the workers. We own the business, and we're in with our Father. We are ambassadors, but we're more than ambassadors. We're children of God. We're reconcilers. We're the righteousness of Christ. We're redeemed. We've been bought back. We are delivered. We walk with crystal clear thinking. Then Jesus tells us, he says, go on out, go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. He says, go out, teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them and telling them whatever it is that I taught you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. He's with us. Say that. He is with us. He is with us. We cannot fail in him. Now, acting under Satan, demons are permitted to afflict with bodily disease if we let them. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He is out to kill you. He's got you marked. The good news is, you know, the Lord has given us everything to overcome. And by the way, when we walk down the street and bump into something or whatever, we don't pick up a demon. It doesn't work like that. We have to open the door like the ambassador. If we were in another country, but we left a hole in the wall, sin or whatever it is, people could come back and forth through that wall or the back door. We need to close them things up. We need to provide protection for us and our family. And we have it. We got the Word, the name, the Holy Spirit. We need to walk holy. The Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We need to be obedient when we need to look out for others. A friend of mine this week, I think Monday or Tuesday, a friend of Donna's and I's, She's been in ministry for decades. And her son died a terrible, terrible accident. Very, very tragic. And she was saying, what did I do wrong? Well, it wasn't that she did anything wrong. It was that the enemy targeted her because of her message. She had an uncompromising message. She didn't do anything wrong. She was doing what was right. So know that. When you take a step out to go deeper in the Lord, the enemy's going to take notice as well. Demons are tempters, but there's no temptation. No temptation where God has not provided a way out. No temptation. The Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over you. We think that, well, we're just humans and we're not perfect, but God says sin shall not have dominion over you. And if you think about that, that's Romans 6 and 14. If you think about that, you're going to realize that, hey, there's so many areas in my life. Some are good. Some are really good. I'm really strong in some areas, but there's other areas that I need work on. We need the Holy Spirit flowing through us more than anything and more than at any time in any place in history. Demons are associated with all forms of idolatry. Thank God we're Christians. Even porcelain dolls and all the statues we see, they have nothing but it's what's behind them. Demons differ in degrees of wickedness. Luke 11, 24 to 26 talks about when someone gets born again, the demon is kicked out. That person has to change his way of thinking, his way of doing things. He has to fill his mind with the Word of God. If he doesn't, that demon that was kicked out will come back because he'll be out in dry places. He won't be happy. He'll say, man, I'm going to go back to the house where I've been kicked out of. When he comes back, if that person is not filled with the Word and growing in God, then the enemy's going to say, you know what, I want to go back in there, but I need to go get seven more guys stronger than me. When he does, Satan says, yeah, go ahead. Let's take this guy. He was once a Christian. Let's make him look like a fool. Let's even get him to the place where he can renounce Christ. Let's at least neutralize him. So the one demon that was out of him goes back and takes seven more. And then the last condition of that man is worse than the first. It's very, you know, he is set up like an army. He's very well organized. That's why that demoniac, when he's seen Jesus, he says, I know you, Jesus. Have you come here to destroy me before my time? The intel was in the day that they all knew where Jesus was. They would have to, where he was going and what he was doing. Demons right now, they're instigating the rulers of the nations to make war against God and his Christ. The Greek word is daimonia, which is number 1139 in Vines. This signifies to be possessed of a demon, which means to act under the control of a demon. And if anyone is, they will express the mind and consciousness of the demon or demons that's indwelling them. People thought that Jesus had a demon. Others said, these are not words of him who has a demon, and can a demon or a devil open the eyes of the blind? The Bible says in Matthew 8 and 16 and 17, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. He still does that today. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses. So where is the problem between that statement, which is the Word of God, and the way that we are walking today? I mean, I know there's a process, but sometimes we just have to get to the point where we say, that's it, I believe, and I take my healing. Or that's it, I believe, I'm not walking in poverty no more. That's it, I believe, and I am the head and not the tail. There are four levels of demonic infestation. One is the infestation. Demons are all about the person, not inhabiting, but able to reach in to influence and temporarily control whenever the person indulges in sinful thoughts or actions. That's the first step. They don't have any control. They're buzzing around. They're tempting you, all the rest of it. You have to draw near to God, resist him, and he'll flee. The second one is inhabitation. A demon has entered into the members. The demon has little or no power at this time. But we need to bring in the Holy Spirit, invite him more, so that mortification will take place. So as the Holy Spirit gets stronger in us and we get stronger in him, these demons that even will affect some of the members of our body will go. The third level is obsession. This is both a psychological and spiritual term and condition. A fleshly habit is sometimes compulsive and serves as a house for demons. Some of the time, the person is free to be himself. Other times, the demons control. And this condition definitely requires deliverance and probably some healing. The fourth one is possession. In this condition, demons are in full control. The character and the personality of the person is entirely suppressed. Possession is extremely rare, except in non-Christians. As a Christian, I doubt if you'll ever see someone who is possessed. But these other areas, they will have trouble with. In fact, it's the Christians that the enemy takes the target at. He's already got the people who are not born again. All his job is to do is to keep them away from gospel workers and away from church that teach the truth. He sometimes don't even mind if you go to church just to be a number. But when you come to church and hear the truth, he does not want you to do that. I'll look at something else here. Possible consequences of demonization. Addictions, appetites out of balance, behavioral extremes, bitterness and unforgiveness, compulsive behavior patterns, deceitful personality, depression, emotional disturbance, escapism, hearing voices, hereditary illnesses. I'd love to comment on some of these, but I'm just reading them. If you want to get them and look at them and meditate on them, get the CD if you'd like to. Heresy, irrational fears and phobias, lack of mature relationships, nightmares, occultic attraction, out of control tongue, outbursts of irrational behavior, overwhelming guilt and self-condemnation, reoccurring sicknesses, self-centeredness, sexual problems, suicidal tendencies, spiritual bondage, and withdrawn antisocial behavior. That is some possible consequences of demonization. The beautiful thing about being a born-again Christian and belonging to the greatest family, the royal family, humbly, is that the enemy can work for 20 years and set things up, and you come along, and in the name of Jesus, in a split second, it's broke. And the enemy gets so angry. The enemy gets so angry at that. Now, it takes time to work it out and to walk it out and to build yourself up in your most holy faith and to renew your mind, of course. But in the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. Every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The things in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. few characteristics of the enemy. Demons, anyway. The demons, they serve Satan. They are living. They have intelligence. They have a personality. They're disembodied. They have a will. They know their end. They have supernatural strength. They bow to the name of Jesus. They are well organized. They do not die when humans die. See, I'd love to comment on a lot of these, but they have knowledge. They have emotions. They have speech. They have specific job functions. They're under authority. They're legalistic. Make a note of that. For example, and I need to comment on this. If you come up and let's say you come to the ministry line and say, well, I'd like you to pray for me. And the minister might say, well, what do you want? Well, whatever. Well, that's what you're going to get. If you come up and say, well, I need a specific thing. That's why a lot of times, if I'm ministering here, I will say, I agree with you, whatever it is you're believing on. And I will lay my hand on you and it'll be a point of contact. Or tell me exactly and then we can agree together. This is all very scripture. That would be the prayer of agreement. If any two of us shall agree as touching anything here on earth, it'll be done for us by our Father, which is in heaven. We need to agree. Once we agree, then it's done. Now, I don't see that there's anything wrong if you say, Lord, and a little while after that, these symptoms are crazy. Did I miss it? What happened? I want to pray. But when the symptoms come, you have to realize that what you were prayed for and start there. Say, Lord, I was prayed for on Sunday morning at 11:30 on September 1st, whatever date it is today, September 1st. The symptoms may come back. For example, the breaker anointing. Many of you come up for a specific breaker anointing over something. You may leave here today and it's worse. Don't accept it. Don't accept that Jesus on the cross said it is finished. And it is finished. It is done. D-O-N-E. You live in a place called done. It's already done. We just have to catch ourselves up to it. So the enemy is legalistic, and so maybe you need to get a little more legalistic. Some have a form, like animals, and that, like lions, 1 Peter 5, snakes, scorpions, dragons, stuff like that. They work together in families. They deceive. And they accuse. Here's one way how they accuse. I finished with that list. But they accuse in this way. Now, doctrinally, you may not agree with this. It's okay. But after looking at it, for me, I believe in this. I'm able to go to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16. We can come to his throne of grace in our time of need and mercy. We may find grace and obtain mercy, sorry. We have a high priest that is touched with our infirmities. He understands what we're going through. So we have the right, through his blood, if we're born again Christians, to go to the throne of grace. The thing is, if we listen to the accuser of the brethren, Revelation chapter 12, and he starts through you saying judgments and criticisms of people, your brother, sister, you take them, because you have access to the throne of God, you take them criticisms and judgments with you to the throne. And just by the very fact that you're going into the throne room, you're bringing that garbage in. And you need to be careful. You need to be very careful. You do not want to be judging your brother or sister. I know that for some people, this is hard work. Others, it's easy. I know people that will say nothing negative or bad or anything about a person. They could take you to court and they would say nothing. They would bless. The Bible tells us, bless those who curse you. Luke chapter 6, read it. It says, bless those who curse you. Love those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Sometimes it's hard, but that's what we have to do. Give no room to the enemy. There are demonic entry points. I've talked about this here before, but generally on a Wednesday night. I don't think I've ever spoken on it on a Sunday morning. But there are voluntary and there are involuntary. The voluntary things that we do to allow the enemy to come in are as follows. I'm going to share a bit. One is abortion. Two is addictions, which includes drugs, alcohol, smoking, gambling, eating, so on. Three, alternative medicines. That's some. Four, behavioral attitudes. Five, contact with death and the dead, seances and so on. Occult. A lot of them are doing that. The enemy, like I said, right now, the big thing right now is for the enemy is to deceive us. And he'll do it whatever way he can. He knows our weakness. He knows how to hit buttons. Number six is false religions and cults. Number seven, immoral sexual acts. If you want to look at that, look at Leviticus 18. It talks to you about all of that. Incest and bestiality and homosexuality and so on. And other things too. Eight, objects and buildings. Number nine, occult. I have a checklist here. I'll name a few of them. Occult checklist. Acupuncture in some cases. Astral projection, astrology, automatic writing, black mass, card readings, clairvoyance, color therapy, divining, ESP, glass ball reading, Halloween involvement, handwriting analysis, some heavy rock music, horoscopes, hypnosis, I Ching, iridology, levitation, martial arts, numerology, occult literature, Ouija boards, pagan objects, pagan rites, palmistry, planchettes, predictions, psychic healing, psychic power and awareness. By the way, back to psychic healing, there is a lot of people going around using psychic healing, calling themselves ministers. In 2 Corinthians chapter, I believe it's 11, verse 14, somewhere in there, it talks about Satan being an angel of light, and his ministers, ministers are ministers of righteousness. But they're false. They're only angels of light. Satanism, Scientology, superstitions, tarot cards, and tea leaf reading. White magic, black magic, some yoga. There are a lot of things that we have adapted here, which have really come from the occult. So number 10, pornography. Number 11, pronouncements and self-curses. Number 12, ungodly soul ties. I would think of meditating on that to see if there's anything in your life that has been an ungodly soul tie. A good soul tie would be father, son, father, daughter, or in-law, son-in-law, friend, of course, family, and generally, the people that you know, that, you know, you're in relationship with in a good sense. The ungodly would be someone who has abused you in some way, who controls you with words, who's always carnal praying for you, who's always using demonic to think that they're helping you. Sometimes it's prophetical, and it's not prophetical at all. it's kind of superstition. They pray for you, and you got to be careful. You got to be very careful who lays hands on you. One of the things about some churches, they let anybody lay their hands on you. You think the enemy is not smart enough to know. If I send one of my kingpins into that place, I know that that kingpin will be laying hands on people. And they will pick up what's in that person. And that person will begin to struggle with things and not even know it. Or witchcraft. I remember one time, there was a person sitting on one side of the church and a witch on the other. And I was preaching. I knew about this person. But what this person was doing, she was bouncing a curse off of a person on this side to me. Only I didn't know it. God was teaching me. But they can do that. We must be filled with the Spirit. We must know what's going on. Ask God for the gift of discerning of spirits. So that is the principal demonic points voluntarily. Let's look at the involuntary. Ancestral and general sin, curses, domination, eating disorders, fears and phobias, infirmity, affliction, miscarriages, rejection, sexual abuse, spiritualism and witchcraft, trauma, emotional crisis, ungodly soul ties, following death and violence. Now, some of these are voluntary. Some people choose to do this. Some people don't know what's going on, and so they don't. I just need a few more minutes. Satan is not an evil principle, so to speak, or an error of the mortal mind. He's not a diseased germ or an abstract power. He's not a being with hoofs, horns, and a tail, and does not carry a pitchfork, as we see a lot of pictures. Satan is a very real being. He stands up against people to resist them as much as he can. Jesus Christ dealt with him as a real person. Remember Matthew 4 and Luke 4 when he was being tested? The Lord talked to him like he was a real person. Jesus Christ waged war on Satan as a person. Acts 10 and 38. Jesus Christ taught that he was a real person in Luke 10 and 18. He says, I've seen him fall like lightning. We know that he was and is the deceiver of one-third of the angels and the whole world. 1 John 5 and 19 says the whole world is under the sway of the enemy, except for believers who know their God. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, but they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and an old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. The enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy, but he's out to deceive. Deceive is a delusion. Deception is making you believe a lie or not believing the truth. The problem with deception is the only one for the most part, who doesn't know they're deceived, is the one who is deceived. Maybe everybody else can see it, but they don't see it because that's what deception is. They're believing a lie. That's why we need to pray in the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 2. Anyone who prays in the Spirit, he doesn't pray to man, he prays to God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he prays mysteries. The mysteries are things that God will show him. Mysteries are spiritual truths that have been hidden in God since before the world began, but now are being made manifest to us who are born-again Christians. The longer we pray in the Spirit, the more mysteries we receive, the more understanding we have of ungodliness. But Revelation 20 and 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so the enemy wants to take everybody there with him. The apostles fought against him and with a real person. Paul said that Satan hindered us. Peter said that Satan is an adversary. The apostles warned men against him. They told us not to give him any place but to resist him. He is a great celestial and terrestrial leader. He rules the business, the social, the political, and the religious activities of the majority of mankind. His realm is divided and organized into principalities and powers in the heavenlies. His subject are fallen angels, fallen men, and demons of various kinds. He is the head of man's religion and is a leader in religious affairs. See, religion is man's way to get to God. Jesus Christ is God's way to get to man. His work is of various natures. He is a religious leader. He has been worshipped as God through the ages, and worship of him will be revived in the future under the Antichrist. The Antichrist means instead of. And he'll be worshipped in a greater measure than ever before. His work is, in general, is to oppose God in any age when he possibly can. For this reason, his work varies in some respects with the purposes of God in different ages and dispensation. His great work in the Old Testament was to cause the fall of man and to rule his dominion. Above all this, his work was designed to prevent the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he failed, and Jesus won. The greatest and most important work of Satan now among men is to counterfeit the doctrines, which is a group of teachings. Counterfeit the doctrines and experiences of God as revealed in scriptures. In order to deceive saints, but again, we need the Spirit of God praying in us, through us, and for us. He is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is our only inoculation against deception. Men are commanded to prove and to test all doctrines and experiences in the supernatural realm to see if they are God or not. But how do you do that? How do you test the spirits? Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. You hear it said you need to test the spirits, but how do you test the spirits? First John chapter 4, verse 4. Will you test them by looking at their fruits and their example? You need to look at their character and personality. You also need to ask God for the gift of discerning of spirits. Because they're out there. There's wheat and tares. They're out there. Jude talks about them partying with us and fellowshipping with us. They're right in our midst. Verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Well, what does that mean? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Well, one of the things is that Jesus did come from God, and he was 100% man, but 100% God. He also shed his blood for us. He also went to the cross. He also was here. He did miracles. We know Jesus by his fruits. He never did anything except he seen what the Father showed him to do. He didn't work alone. He wasn't a lone engine. He wasn't a superstar or anything like that. Wasn't out for everybody's money and all that. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The enemy wants to deceive us, but we don't have to be deceived. And if even we don't know, if we hear somebody talking and speaking, even if we don't know exactly where in the scripture we can find it or what the problem is, we know because we are sons of God. And he lives in us. And he's telling us, no, there's something wrong here. Or I need to warn you about this. Or yes, this is good. This is good. It is certain that every religion, every doctrine and experience among men cannot be of God. So we have to judge them by the plain written word of God. And the greatest danger for spiritual believers is to accept anything and everything in the realm of the supernatural as being from God. Like I said, the Holy Spirit is our only inoculation against deception. The Holy Spirit is the one who wrote the word. He can certainly show us it. Let's look at John 16. We quote that a lot here, but let's look at 16, verse 13 and 14 and 15. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. It's the Holy Spirit that wants to show you the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some believers who have yielded to the Holy Spirit and the leadings of God and think that they can't be deceived. Well, maybe they can't, but they need to be careful. Because through counterfeit doctrines and leadings, the enemy is out there. And it's getting sharper and finer, sharper and finer. He's putting more truth in it, and more truth, and more truth, which looks good. Which looks good, but it's really a counterfeit. And we have to know. We have to know not only for us, but for our children. We're coming into a time where things are going on, they're crazy out there. From schools to the government, the people that we have leading our government, the people that we have leading our schools, it's crazy. It's coming to a time where when you stand up for the truth, you're going to be the one that's going to look crazy. So will you love your life even to death? Will you be that witness, that martyr? Will you stand there and say, no, this is wrong? And if someone even pointed a gun to your head, what would you say? I quit, I give? Or would you say, take my head off because I believe that this is the truth. Jesus Christ is the way. That will come. I think I'll stop there. And I'm going to pray. But I'm going to say again, like what I said last week, 15 minutes a day is not all that long, really. Even if we know a lot, we can still learn more. Paul the Apostle himself said that I pray in tongues more than ye all. We need to be wise in the Lord. Amen. Would you all stand for a minute? If you care to, I would ask that you repeat this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the weapons that you have given me. Right now, I'd ask that you would give me also the gift of discerning of spirits. I ask that you would give me wisdom. I'd ask that you cause me to have such a hunger to get to know you that nothing deceiving can get by me, because you're in me and you will show me. Father, I thank you for my family. I pray for them now. Lord, they need you. Will you touch them? And show me what to do. Whether it's praying for them and interceding. Whether it's calling and talking to them. Or whatever it is you need me to do. Father, touch my heart. Cause me to love your people. And to fulfill John 3:16. Because we are your hands and your feet. In Jesus' name. Father, I praise you for what you've done. And I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has been working here this morning. Cause us to be just so in love with you, Lord, so on fire, but yet wanting to, not just doing it out of because someone has said to do it, but because we want to. Lord, we need you, and I thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now there are other people that you have given us, Lord. Give us them divine appointments. If there's fear in us to step out, take that fear, Lord, through that breaker anointing. Cause us to minister to you, Lord. Cause us to minister to them and speak the gospel to them and lead them to Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to close with one little testimony. You may sit down. But don't ever be afraid to share anything concerning the gospel. The other day we had a furnace guy in, and he was sitting at our kitchen table. And I happened to get a very important phone call, so I get up to take it. But Donna was there ministering to this guy. And she was just sharing the gospel with him. I finished my call after a few minutes. I come up and rejoin them. And the Lord said, this guy you need to pray for. But we finished our business and so on before that. And then I says, okay, now. His name was Chris. I says, okay, now we have got to go back to where I broke in and cut this off because the Lord wants to touch you. And I said, would you let me pray for you? And he kind of looked all funny, and he said, well, how, what, how long is it going to take? I said, listen, we don't have to kneel down. This will take 30 seconds. Are you willing? He hummed and hawed a bit, but I just kind of forced him a little bit. Not in a bad way. Anyway, when I prayed for him, because after I finished talking to him, the power of God hit him so hard he couldn't stand. He had to grab onto one of the chairs. And I was kind of laughing because I was thinking, you fought this, but yet you give in. Now, aren't you glad that you gave in? I am not fearful, nor is Donna, to talk to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants to give us them situations and appointments. And if you look for them, he'll show you. That's not saying just to, if I can say this right, be unwise about who you're talking to. Because sometimes they're not ready. Sometimes you're just dropping a little seed. Other times you got to go in and bang and lead them to Christ. And that's what we did.